What is truth?
In an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had a chance to put its boots on, Paul's words ring back through the centuries with added urgency. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. As your waist is the center of your body, so truth is central to the full armor of God. Without it, the covering that protects you from the devil's schemes simply crumples to the ground, leaving you naked and vulnerable. But what is truth? That is the very question Pontius Pilate asked. In the irony of the ages, he stood toe to toe with the personification of truth, and yet missed its reality. Postmodern people are in much the same position. They stare at truth, but fail to recognize its identity. Truth, like all the other pieces of the armor, is in actuality an aspect of the nature of God Himself. Thus, to put on the belt of truth is to put on Christ, for Christ is truth. And as Christians, we are the bearers of truth. So as Guinness explains, Christianity is not true because it works, which is pragmatism. It is not true because it feels right, which is subjectivism. It is not true because it's my truth, relativism. It is true because it's anchored in the person of Christ. The Christian faith is not true because it works. It works because it's true. It's not true because we experience it. We experience it deeply and gloriously because it is true. It is not simply true for us. It is true for any who seek in order to find, because truth is true even if no one believes it, and falsehood is false even if everybody believes it. That is why truth does not yield to opinion, fashion, numbers, office, or sincerity. It is simply true, and that is the end of it. Furthermore, truth is axiomatic to a realistic worldview. The moment we drop the belt of truth, our view of reality becomes seriously skewed. Todd's conspiracy theories, Warnke's voyeuristic tales, and Stratford's repressed satanic ritual abuse memories evolve out of sophistry, sensationalism, and superstition, as do Larson's sexual demons, Anderson's biting demons, and Arnold's demons of death. No doubt, Satan is as pleased with ministers who insinuate that demons are but literary symbols of man's inhumanity to man as he is with those whose demonology is driven by Hollywood stereotypes. As Lord Foulgrin instructs his demonic understudy, Squaltaint, "We can benefit immensely from any view of us but the true one. Probe carefully to discover your patient's demonology and develop it in the most advantageous manner. Make sure his view of us stems from skepticism, denial, ignorance, superstition, legend, literature, spiritism, popular culture, or any combination thereof. Let it come from anything and everything but the forbidden book." Finally, dropping the belt of truth is fraught with peril. If you think you've been exorcised from the demon of bulimia, you'll think you've discovered a fast food solution to a long-term problem. If you believe you've been delivered from the demon of cancer, you'll believe that you no longer need medical intervention. And if you suppose you've delivered someone from the demon of murder, you'll suppose he's no longer a threat to himself or society. Think back for a moment to the murder of Edmund Fabian. As documented by Grace, her husband's killer was a textbook schizophrenic. When he's on medication, he was calm and lucid. When he was not, the voices in his head returned. Imagine what might have happened if someone supposed that Edmund's killer was satanically possessed as opposed to schizophrenically psychotic. Imagine that the remedy of choice was deliverance rather than medication. Suppose the killer was no longer considered a menace to society. After all, he'd been delivered of the demon that made him do it. Imagine further that the court disagreed with the Christian exorcists. They diagnosed that Edmund's killer suffered from schizophrenic psychosis rather than satanic possession. Imagine he was put on medication and released back into society. Now, imagine the unimaginable. Imagine Edmund's killer stopped taking his medication. The voices returned, and once again, he had blood on his hands. Now stop imagining. Edmund's killer was indeed released into the village. He stopped controlling his psychotic breaks through medication. The voices in his head returned. He took another life. This time, it was his own. Indeed, the belt of truth is axiomatic to a realistic worldview. When its buckle breaks, the covering crumples, reality is clouded, the unthinkable happens.